Welcome to London Media Lounge Podcast, dude.
Thank you.
You are my first neighbor, man. My first neighbor right next door to us. And yeah, bro, it was lovely meeting you a couple weeks back.
Yeah, yeah, same.
It was lovely to get that session off of you on my shoulder. I enjoyed that session thoroughly. It was a little bit therapeutic, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like as much as you were digging into the muscle and I was in all sorts of pain, but it was very relaxing.
Good.
Yeah, overall, it was a very relaxing session, and I appreciate that. So, welcome to London Media Lounge. How about you tell the audience and the listeners what you do?
All right. My name's Lucas. I'm an osteopath. I graduated this summer from the British College of Osteopathic Medicine. And so that's my main occupation at the moment. Osteopathy is a hands-on form of manual therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So similar field to physiotherapists and chiropractors.
Right.
The way I describe it to most people is we have a lot of similar techniques in terms of the profession of physiotherapy and chiropractors, but it's just, it's a different way of going about it.
Yeah.
We each have our own way of going about treating someone. Osteopathy is all about finding the cause of the dysfunction and trying to sort of help the patient work on that main cause. And then, of course, we'll recommend for them to do things at home so then they can maintain that improvement over a long period of time.
Right.
That's osteopathy in a nutshell.
Awesome, man. Awesome. So, like, I know chiropractors focus a lot on bones and aligning your C2 and C14 and whatever. Mm-mm. Right. And then there's a lot of cracking and stuff like that. Mm-mm. However, we like personally over the years, I've heard a lot of, people say about chiropractors, like, oh, it's taboo. It's like it's not necessary, whatever. What's the difference between chiropractors and what you do? Because I feel like, OK, so these guys focus on bones.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys focus on mainly?
So it's funny you say that. I think similar, people think we focus on bones as well.
Mm-hmm.
The aim is the joints. So we're both trying to help with the joint function.
Mm-hmm.
So the clicking techniques that you refer to, we call them HVT, so high velocity, low amplitude thrusts.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, you can just call them an adjustment or a manipulation. And so the objective of that is it helps sort of, in a sense, reset the joint.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have that click is actually just gas being released from that joint capsule.
Right.
But there's a neurological effect.
Mm-hmm.
So the nerve which innervates that joint also innervates the muscles around that joint. So when you get that joint to click, you get sort of a release. And you feel after, I've experienced it myself, you will feel a help in the function at that joint when you do an adjustment or a manipulation.
Right.
So chiropractors, they're very famous for doing it. I think, you know, they do it and they're happy to show it on social media and the internet. And, you know, osteopaths do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think in terms of a technique, we both use that technique. Again, it's just when we think it's useful.
Right.
I think if you want to think about it in sense of how to understand who does what technique more, from what I've heard and talking to physiotherapists, they seem to also be able to do hands-on, but they're more guided in their learning to sort of exercise rehab and giving the patient that plan to help with their exercise routine so that they can develop that strength so that long-term they don't have that issue.
Yeah.
Then on the other hand, you have chiropractors, which they do lots of manipulations.
Right.
And of course, I'm not a chiropractor, so I can't say 100%, but just from talking to friends, and I have a friend who's who's in a chiropractic clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And so they sort of emphasis on the adjustment techniques or the clicking techniques.
Yeah.
And so if you want to imagine it, osteopaths are kind of in the middle.
Right.
Of course, it depends. Some osteopaths do a lot more adjustments than others.
Mm-hmm.
Some do a bit more soft tissue, so massage techniques.
Yeah.
So all varies on the osteopath, but I think that gives a nice idea that we're kind of in the middle between
the
two.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, really good chiropractors and physios will probably use elements of, you know, each profession.
Because
at the end of the day, you know, we want to help our patients function, to the best of our ability.
Yeah.
But I think osteopaths, they use a bit of like adjustments and soft tissue. It's just, it's kind of...
they're style benders.
That's it. We kind of we mix and match, but the aim is the function.
Exactly. Yeah. The aim at the end of the day. It feels like to me that, you know, I'd rather go see an osteopath rather than a chiropractor first. And if you're a chiropractor out there and you got offended, then get in touch with me. Let's have you on a podcast so you can chat to me.
Definitely.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, bro, like from first-hand experience coming in yesterday, and I've been suffering from, you know, just I told you from my MMA days where, you know, my shoulder, my left shoulder got, you know, messed up on multiple occasions, you know, stuck in Americanas, in Kimuras, you know, not tapping, being super competitive, falling on it every now and then, you know, from a wrestling takedown against some brute who took it so seriously. It just, but it's what it is. You don't feel it then, it just accumulates, and then one day you wake up and you're like, I can't raise my hand, and
that's it.
You know, that's what happened. So luckily I've been off of, you know, doing those high intensity workouts to the point that I feel like it kind of healed a little bit. I gave it time to rest. But yesterday, when I walked in, you can definitely see the tightness. I felt it. There was, it was different from the other shoulder. There's no pop. That's how I explained it. There was no pop in it. But you dug deep in there, man. You dug deep, and it definitely felt fresh leaving there, man.
Cool.
I was shadow boxing all day yesterday just because I felt like, you know, it was doing all right.
Good. Well, I'm happy.
Yeah. Good, thanks, good, man. I really appreciated it. I will see you again very soon about my lower back issue. I told you that I had some high intense sciatica that left, to this day, my left leg is a bit number than the other. So we'll chat about that later on.
Sure.
But let's speak about osteopathy. What are the main issues that people come see you guys? Like, what's the frequent injuries that, you know, people come and see you for?
So, I mean, obviously a bit of everything. Mainly, we see a lot of back pain and a lot of shoulder issues. The funny thing is, you know, shoulders and necks sort of come together because the muscles overlap between the two joints.
Right.
But low back, shoulders, necks as well, because, you know, office workers,
it's
going to have tight upper necks because of working, you know, even stress affects the muscles around the neck. So low back, shoulders, necks. Yeah.
Yeah. How about, have you heard of that term? I think I'm going to butcher this term, but it's called, I think, the social media neck or something like that. The, you know, it's like, we're sitting in bed like this.
Yeah.
And our necks are always like this. So you kind of, your neck is not in the right position. I heard that the neck is supposed to be a little bit tilted backwards for it to be in its natural position. Is that correct?
The thing with this is in the textbook, they'll always be like, you know, the best posture.
Yeah.
And I think overall we're sort of moving away from that model because it's not 100% accurate. They've shown studies where, you know, people sitting in different postures, you know, the back pain isn't linked to one posture, basically. So I think with the neck, I think maintaining this posture, the social media posture, as you said, where it's, you know, it's flexed and it's maintained in an uncomfortable position.
Right.
After a while, that is going to be, uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I think, obviously, we all have positions where it's more comfortable. And I think you need to work out what position that is, because, you know, staying in any position too long, you're going to have discomfort.
Yeah. Right?
So it's making sure that whatever position you are in, taking a break, moving around, you know, doing a couple of exercises, stretches.
Yeah.
Because that's going to reduce the discomfort.
Right. I hope
that answers.
It kind of does. Yeah, I absolutely agree with you in that sense where, you know, I watch a lot of athletic events and sports, and you can see from one athlete to another, bone structure is different. So, yeah, you're right. You have to kind of move away from the textbooks where people are just built different. They're structured different. 100%. So what works for this guy does not work for the other guy and so on.
Yeah.
But so back injuries are the number one. Yeah.
That's the most I've seen so far.
Yeah.
But again, you know, I've just graduated, so it might change over time.
So far
for me, yeah.
Definitely. Okay, cool. So what would you say are the main causes for that? Like, obviously for me, I drive a lot. I'm sitting down a lot. You know, I exercise probably around 30 minutes a day, not a lot.
Yeah.
You know, so like, What would you say to people to have, obviously have them avoid letting it get to a point where they have to go and seek out help?
Okay, so yeah, good question. And that's something I think about a lot myself. Mm-hmm. I think it's being aware that, as I said a moment ago, that we don't want to be stuck in a position and just deal with the pain. A lot mm-hmm. of people, when they have an issue, they kind of say, "Oh, you know what? I'll just cope with it." You know,
it's, right?
Especially in Britain, we've got that expression, the stiff upper lip, where
yeah.
we don't express pain or sadness or whatever. We just keep it all inside, right?
Yes, we are men.
That's it. And everyone really in Britain, we all
yeah, even
this,
the women, you know what I'm saying?
Everyone, yeah.
Some so, warrior ladies out there.
Oh, honestly, yeah. I have seen. So I think being aware that we have to be more responsible for our body, mm-hmm. Which of course is difficult. Everyone works really hard and, mm-hmm. you know, especially at the moment with the world we're living in, that there's a high amount of stress. Mm-hmm. But just realizing that small things on a regular basis do help. So at the end of your day, you know, I think this analogy is nice, you know, whatever your profession is, mm-hmm. if you're sitting at a desk or, you know, you're in a position for a while, just thinking as you're an athlete, you know.
Right.
Everyone's an athlete. We have 300 something muscles in our body, and we were designed to move. Mm-hmm. So on a regular basis, running 10 minutes in the morning or going for a walk, people laugh, but walking is actually amazing. You know, going up hills, down hills, and you know, even half an hour a day, you're getting your hips, your knees, your ankles to be moving, your whole body's moving. And you know, after 15 minutes, you do feel a bit of a sweat because blood's pumping.
True.
And that's one of the principles in osteopathy. It's the rules of the artery are supreme. Mm-hmm. So if you can help blood flow to a joint, that joint's going to heal quicker if there is a dysfunction there.
Right.
So, you know, one of my tutors at uni, he said, when someone has a shoulder issue, tell them to walk. And it sounds silly, but yeah. when you think about it, if he's walking more blood flow, mm-hmm. that may help the healing process of the shoulder. Yeah. So little things like walking 20 minutes a day, running 20 minutes a day. And then maybe at the end of your day, if you know, because athletes do this, after your workout or, you know, your work session, mm-hmm. You do some stretching, you do some low back stretching,
right.
glute stretching, hamstrings, just to help with the lower back generally. Mm-hmm. And also stretching just feels good. So at the end of the day, you know, you're going to feel better after stretching. And so overall, you're going to have a better morale as well. So right. stretching is an interesting one in terms of research. We kind of said stretching was amazing before. And now they're saying, oh, perhaps there's not as many benefits mm-hmm. from stretching. Mm-hmm. But from my own experience, when I did more stretching on a regular basis, I felt less stiff. So, I mean, if you're doing a bit more exercise on a regular basis, walking, running, and at the end of the day you're stretching, you'll probably feel that overall you feel a bit looser and feel a bit better. And
right.
the back pain's probably just a touch lower than what it could have been before.
Yeah.
In which case, you know, then you're not worrying about it because it's in a manageable pain level.
Yeah.
So yeah. And at the moment I'm reading a book called Atomic Habits by James Clear. Mm-hmm. And one of the rules is make things easy. So, you know, if people are like, oh, I need to run an hour a day to make sure that I'm fit and healthy, you don't really need to, as long as you do like 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes at lunch, 15 minutes before, you know, you go home.
Yeah.
You know, small atomic habits stack right. up. So True. That's, you know, when you think of exercise, you have to think of habits. And small things really contribute to the whole after a while.
Yeah. And I have this thing where I'd rather do 20 minute exercise every day than to do 1 hour exercise three times a week.
Yeah, of course.
It's building that habit and having your body always to expect that there's going to be movement, there's going to be blood, like you said, blood mm-hmm, flow. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm a very obsessed walker. Mm-hmm. I used to walk probably 10 miles a day for mm-hmm. a long time, especially during lockdown.
Yeah.
I literally pop in some podcast or some Jocko Willink book mm-hmm, or whatever. Mm-hmm,
100%.
You know what I mean? And just keep going, going. Yeah. And I remember I used to wear a sauna suit as well.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. Sauna suit. And I just walk and I'm just, you know, just sweating like a crazy guy. Mm-hmm. That's another thing that I want to talk to you about. So saunas and steam rooms. Mm-hmm. What's your idea on that?
So I think that helps with the lymphatic system. Mm-hmm. I think when you're in that temperature, you're basically getting rid of toxins in a sense. Mm-hmm. So it's healthy, I'd say.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we all need to adapt and get used to certain, you know, temperatures.
Yeah,
and, but overall, you know, that kind of goes into the hydrotherapy, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, hot and cold temperatures changing so that your body changes and adapts. So, mm-hmm. for example, in the cold, the blood flow sort of reduces to the extremities and goes more to our vital organs because yeah. it wants to protect, you know, and keep them working well.
Yeah.
And then when you're in a really, hot temperature, the blood vessels in the extremities of your body, so hands and feet, and towards the skin, they vasodilate, so they become larger so that there's more blood flow.
Right.
So, you know, just changing temperature, and Wim Hof talks a lot about this. I don't know if you know the Iceman.
Yeah.
I think he's very big at the moment.
That's a different human being, man.
That's
like an extreme outlier, bro. How did he get to that?
I don't know.
You know, it's crazy.
Great guy. But you know, just changing temperature, you see how blood flow changes. So again, blood flow.
Yeah.
So, you know, helps remove toxins in the sauna, mm-hmm. and then just overall helps with the blood flow. So yeah, I think, why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Why not do it? Yeah.
I like this theme of like, you want something to heal, get blood flow to it quickly. So you want better looking skin. Mm-hmm. You know, go to a steam room, get that blood into the into the skin, into the outer organs. Mm-hmm. If you want, you know, cold showers, you know, for the inner organs, for the 100%. Heart to be pumping.
Mm-hmm.
And then go for walks to heal any joint, because mm-hmm. you know, it gets the blood flowing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, I love that. And also swimming. What do you think about swimming?
Swimming's great. It's low weight bearing. So mm-hmm. instead of, you know, running or walking, and you know, there's weight there. So as it's low weight bearing, it means that if you do have a minor injury,
mm-hmm.
it's just easier. You do the movement, and it's just focusing on the mobility of that joint,
mm-hmm.
rather than getting, lots of weight on it and then aggravating the injury.
Yeah.
Swimming is honestly great. I'd recommend swimming for everyone.
Absolutely.
100%.
So, what would you, if you like, give a top three, exercises that people should be doing every day?
Mm-hmm.
So how would you tell them to go about their lives so that they can avoid injuries?
Yeah.
Stupid injuries as well. Like, okay, you've been sitting on your desk for the past 2 years. You've been driving for the past 2 years. And then you're wondering why you just, you know, made the wrong move and something clicked. And now mm-hmm. you're like, oh my God, back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So how can we not get there?
Okay. So I'm going to prescribe my exercises for, let's say, a typical office worker, because mm-hmm. I think a lot of people have that type of job.
Yeah.
So, you know, literally like a 15-minute run in the morning,
mm-hmm.
get up, either first thing or, yeah, I'd say first thing, wake mm-hmm. up.
Yeah,
first thing,
fasted.
First thing in the morning, go 15-minute run, come back, then do whatever stretch you like, that's fine. And then I'd focus in terms of stretches. There's one which focuses on your quadratus lumborum, which is basically the muscle in your lower back, which helps you extend.
Mm-hmm.
So that one can get tight when we're sitting for a long time during the day.
Yeah.
So that's one where you're on your side and you bend both knees, mm-hmm. and then you, with your opposite hand, you pull the knee towards, let's say you want to go to your left.
Mm-hmm.
You want your legs to go to the left. So bend both knees, left hand on your right knee, and then pull it towards the left. And then with your right arm, you want to go towards the right.
Yeah.
And this is when you're on your side. So you're going to be stretching those muscles when you're rotating.
Right.
So and that's good.
Is it these?
Yeah. So that's the QL.
Right. So these are the ones that help you extend. And they're tight. They look tight already. Like you having to do anything. They look very tight. Yeah.
They just try and help maintain the position as well. So that stretch definitely helps with that. I feel it all the time when I do it. It's mm-hmm. really good. And then the other one, which I'd recommend for everyone, is a piriformis / glute stretch. So if you just put like piriformis, so P-I-R-I. Yeah.
Is that it?
So yeah, that one's really good.
So you put your foot behind your knee or in front of your knee, like you're sitting.
That's it.
And then bring that other knee up so that it stretches this glute here. Sorry for the people that are listening. Go check us out on YouTube and you can see what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So you stretch this glute and then you switch it to the other side. I actually was doing that a little bit for my sciatica.
Yeah. No, that would help because if your sciatica was caused by a sort of a tight or a piriformis muscle, which is compressing on the sciatic nerve, that would definitely help. So that makes sense.
Right. So those two are great. Lower back, and then you have the glute, which are very important muscles, especially for the people. This is mainly targeted for the people that are sitting down.
Yeah, sitting down.
So these are the two exercises. Mm-hmm. And then otherwise, just stretch your... What other areas that... Because, bro, one of the main things why I don't stretch a lot is because... Which stretch am I doing? Which one am I leaving?
Obviously,
you just covered right now the lower back and the glute. What other two? Like, if you can shrink it down to four main stretches.
Yeah, sure. So I'd say for the lower back, those are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then for your neck, there's one which is basically you stretch your trapezius. Mm-hmm. So you're pretty much head to the side.
Yeah.
And then you're trying to open up there.
Yeah.
You're also the development to this exercise or stretches. You kind of push your right shoulder down.
Yeah.
So your head is leaning left.
Yeah.
And then right shoulder is down. So you're basically stretching both the origin and the insertion of the muscle.
Okay.
So that's really good.
Yeah.
You know, you can feel it. And then in terms of other stretches for, let's say, neck and shoulders, I say just trying to maintain. So this is going to, you know, seem a bit silly out.
Yeah.
People were laughing at me when I was doing it. But basically just like rotating your neck to the end of range as far as you can go, and then sideways as well. So here you're kind of stretching the muscles in the upper neck, so the trapezius and the levator scapula, and then when you're sort of rotating, you're just basically maintaining that movement in the cervical spine, so your neck region.
Right.
So yeah, that way that helps the muscle and that helps the movement of the joints.
Yeah. And then obviously stretch out your shoulders back.
Yeah, so you can do a pec stretch as well. Yeah, great idea. Yeah. So if you go to the door frame, put your arm up there and then you just rotate away, you're stretching out your pecs, which is, you know,
recommended. Told me about that yesterday. That's what it is. And how long do you keep certain positions for?
So I'd say just, you know, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, just until you feel the stretch, and then take a break. Again, I think it's more of the importance is doing it on a regular basis. So however long you can keep it, as long as you don't feel like it's too painful, you just want to feel that stretch for as long as, you're comfortably happy to do it.
Yeah.
And just do it a few times. And I think I tell all my patients, less is more when it comes to habits. So one a day is better, as you said, than three times at the end of the week.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, I like thinking of, you know, analogies. You do one thing a day, you would have done 365 things at the end of the year.
Yeah.
365, that's a lot,
that's
right?
That's a lot, man.
I mean, just one thing a day.
Yeah, that piles up, man.
That's it, accumulates.
Yeah.
You know, compound effect.
There you go. I love that, man. I think that's absolutely, like, based on my life experience here as a human, a humble human in this planet, things that work is the things that I've consistently done, not the things that I've done super, like, went all in and then never went back for. It's just the things, the simple things that I've done every day, the things that I keep doing are the things that give me most return.
Mm-mm-mm.
And like, you're absolutely right. Keep it simple. Mm. Simple, stupid. What is that? Is that what they call the key? KISS.
Kiss. That's right.
Keep it simple, stupid. Mm-hmm. Keep it like that. And as long as you can do it the next day, that's it. I tell one of my friends, we used to go in the park during when it was not raining.
Yeah.
We used to go and hit a lot of pads in the park. And the minute I see him like hating his life, I'll be like, all right, we're stopping now.
Mm-mm-mm.
He's like, why? He goes, because I want you to come back the next day, innit? Because this is not let's come back two days later. No, we'll be back here same time tomorrow. So that's another thing. It's like slowly build up for the optimal level you want to become. Because I watch a lot of, like I said, I'm a sports head, like mainly MMA. I'm not into football stuff.
Sure.
Sorry, guys. But I'm a combat sports fiend. And I look at athletes' lives, man. That's the most attractive lifestyle I've ever seen. It's because they really focus on performance on a next level.
Yeah.
Which brings me to the next point. I know this is not your field, but I want to hear your opinion on it, is nutrition.
Yeah.
How do you like recommend, like, do you speak to your patients about that? It's like, hey man, you're eating a lot of sugar. That's why there's a lot of inflammation there.
Mm-mm. So it's funny you say that. I have gone through my own experience of health. Mm-hmm. I have IBS, so irritable bowel syndrome. So, right. And also I'm intolerant to wheat and cow's milk. So, when I was younger, I didn't realize why I was tired all the time.
Yeah.
And I had bloating and I had a bit of wind as well.
Mm-hmm.
So just to put it into perspective, when I started my A-levels, and also in secondary school, in the morning, the first period, I'd be there and I'd just be like tired and I'd be falling asleep after half an hour.
Whoa.
Literally, yeah. And my friends would be like, did you not go to bed early? And I was like, yeah, I went to bed at a normal time. Like, you know,
10:30. I slept 8 hours, man.
Yeah. I even maybe slept 8 and a half, like, you know. But I was just falling asleep and I was, you know, so strange. And it was because I was having toast and muesli in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at that time, muesli, oats, I was struggling with as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how oats with, you know, there's like gluten-free oats and regular oats. Now I tend to go for the gluten-free oats anyway,
mm-hmm.
but I don't eat oats on a regular basis because it's similar. It's difficult for me to digest.
Yeah.
But anyway, so long story short, I've made my diet very clean, removed a lot of processed foods
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and just to put in perspective again, at university we had an hour and a half lectures. It got to the point where I would be in those lectures and I wouldn't even be tired. I'd be focused. I'd be taking notes. I'd be asking questions.
Nice.
I'd be that annoying guy at the front.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
So, you know, it was a huge difference in my life purely based on what I ate.
Yes.
In osteopathy, we have that naturopathic element. So mm-hmm. we're allowed to prescribe, to recommend certain digestive things for patients to do. But of course I'm not a nutritionist. So I pretty much just suggest simple things like removing as many processed foods as you can.
Yeah.
If you can go to brown bread rather than white. After I graduated the summer and I was starting work, I was kind of a little bit nervous. I'd try and hurry up and, you know, get an easy lunch. And I experienced going from like processed food to like more wholemeal things. And I experienced the change. Like when you have processed foods, you'll have an increase in blood sugar mm-hmm. and then it will dip. And so that's why everyone gets that crash, yeah. right? So of course, that I realized those issues when I was 16, and 8 years down the line, I've worked on my diet a lot. So now I can have wheat from time to time.
Yeah.
If I work a couple of times a week, then I can afford to have maybe like a sandwich here or there, and it's you know, no biggie.
Right.
But it was really interesting how even, you know, over this summer, from summer to now, going from processed to wholemeal, my sugar levels when I had wholemeal bread was just so much more consistent throughout the day. I could focus, and there wasn't a moment where I was like, oh, I need to like nap for like 10 minutes or something.
That's crazy, man. So how did you find out? How did you, like, obviously you had some issues and they were evident.
Yeah.
And then what, did you go to the doctors and they took a blood sample or something?
So funny enough, my older brother, Mikhail, I mean, like really
shout
really
out enough. To Mikhail. Let's go.
Love my brothers, Mikhail and Angelo.
Yeah.
My little brother, my older brother, Mikhail, he was going to do an allergy test for him mm-hmm. himself because he's very on everything. So he was like, oh, you know, maybe I've got an allergy or something.
Yeah.
So he did it. And then he was like, oh, bro, I'm doing this allergy test. Would you like to do it too? And I was like, okay, cool.
Sure.
So that was the first time when like a document said that I was intolerant to wheat, cow's milk, cashews and pumpkin seeds.
Whoa.
And it was really strange. And I looked
that's
at it.
That's a big list.
Yeah. And it was really, in a way, nice for something to tell me that there was actually something going on. It wasn't just me being lazy. Yeah. You know,
man, I think I want to do that.
Yeah, 100%. I'd recommend to everyone.
Yeah. Allergy tests, right?
Allergy tests. Okay, yeah. Okay. I think it's, can I say a name of it?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So I think it's a York Labs or York Test Center. And basically you can do it online. So you fill it in and then send it and then ask for them to send you a package.
Okay. Awesome.
So it was thanks to that. And that was pretty much the first moment I started thinking about my health. And obviously I've never looked back, but, so in terms of patients, I just let them know that it, you know, very simple things, processed a whole meal, but also things like trying smoothies because mm-hmm. they're much more easier to digest.
Right.
So in the morning, you know, having a smoothie and then having lots of soups, that's yeah. easier to digest as well.
Yeah.
And then just generally more greens. Greens are great. And salads.
Yeah.
Salads are good for your gut. Helps things, you know, push things out.
Is that your average diet then today? Like, how would you describe your average diet? What's the type of stuff that you allow into your fridge? And then, so obviously no processed food. Yeah, that's awesome. So but how do you keep it up? So for me, one of my biggest challenges is the time, because I love in the morning. My mornings are mine. They don't belong to no client. Mm-hmm. They don't belong to nobody. Mm-hmm. Unless it's a family issue, then I yeah. have to. But they belong to me, and because I want to start my day right. So I wake up early after my coffee and whatnot. I like to make a great omelette where I just throw in whatever vegetables in there just sure. to keep it, start the day right. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I agree with you. I like deep wheat bread. You know that... so tough yeah, to yeah, chew yeah. away. Yeah, gotcha, it's not gotcha. Some, you know, I love those because it feels real. Mm-hmm. So that's the only time I have to cook something for myself.
Sure.
Even that is like 15 minutes max and yeah. I'm done. So when I go back at home at night and whatever, and there's no way I'm waking up and I'm putting something in the oven sure. and stuff like that. And that's my challenge. So sometimes I do resort to not a lot, but some processed food. Otherwise, I'm eating eggs most of the time or some yeah. tuna in a can.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so how, like, what's your secret? How do you maintain it?
Yeah, so, I mean, I have to be totally honest. Since graduating, I've taken a little bit of a backseat. I've enjoyed the time off. I think it's
oh yeah,
it's
necessary.
Crazy. Yeah, yeah. It's like anyone who's gone through either a degree or just working in general, just having constant stress and deadlines. Like I think everyone can appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know, when you finish something or you finish a job or something, or you know, a degree. You kind of want that time to feel like yeah. you don't want to do anything. So that's sort of my period now.
Yeah.
But definitely I'm getting back on my health and mm-hmm. making my diet cleaner. So yeah, in the morning I love a coconut smoothie. So
nice.
You know, shout out for anyone who does this. You know, awesome to you, power to you. And also it's just a great thing. You can get a can of coconut milk, which is I think 2 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
There's 800 calories in that.
Right.
So you can do a smoothie, coconut milk, frozen raspberries, blueberries. You can put bananas. You can put protein powder. Mix it all in. It'll give you like a big smoothie. And then you can have maybe half that morning. And then so that's good fats. Coconut yeah. has good fats in it. And then if you want to do either, depending on, you know, what you're allowing to your diet, like either porridge or I'm happy to do a bowl of rice in the morning, something
mm-hmm.
simple.
Mm-hmm.
I don't eat that much in the morning, I have to say. I think right. I kind of like allowing my gut to sort of do its thing in the morning yeah. and then I'll have something late morning. Then lunchtime is going to be root vegetables. So potatoes, sweet potatoes, parsnips, celeriac, which is just another type of root vegetable. And salad to start off with, lettuce, tomato, cucumber, keep it simple. My dad, he's a herbalist, so he's gone into sprouting at the moment.
Okay.
So yeah, he's doing lots of sprouts, mung bean sprouts. So our salads look really cool at the moment, you know, it's, and he's got them growing all over the kitchen.
So nice.
These little seeds sprouting all over, yeah, all over the kitchen. So
just pick one up.
That's it. Literally, it's like he just yeah. picks it up, puts in the salad straight
yeah,
away.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So that's, you know, so salad, root vegetables, and I've been adding like goat's cheese. Goat's cheese is another thing which I've changed in my diet. So I used to have like cow's milk and cow's cheese. I've moved over to goat
mm-hmm.
and goat is a lot more digestible for me.
Okay.
So yeah, so goat's cheese. And so I'll add some goat's cheese, either feta or halloumi is good, depending on, you know, you can have cow's milk or goat's milk when it comes to halloumi.
Mm-hmm.
Put that in. And so I'm not a complete vegetarian. I'd say I'm predominantly plant-based.
Yeah.
But I do have fish. I do have mackerel, canned fish sometimes, and sometimes we get it fresh. Just because I think variety is good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone who's a vegan, you know, I have so much respect.
Yeah, do your thing, man.
Yeah, yeah, do your thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But for me, I think I'd struggle with that. So
yeah.
I tried it ages ago. I mean, it was during uni, so I was like really stressed, so it didn't really work out for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, so now I'm really happy. I'm having fish from time to time. I'm predominantly plant based, and then sometimes I'll have rice and sort of mung beans and like lentil dishes.
Yeah.
Again, I don't go too much into legumes because also they're quite difficult to digest.
Right.
But I will add them in from time to time just to vary it. So
yeah.
It's so when I tell people, they kind of think, "Wow, you're limiting your diet so much." But yeah. Actually, if you think about it, you know, pasta, bread. They're all sort of processed and pancakes and I would like to make wraps at some point, perhaps in a gluten-free version, and to make tortillas
every now and then.
That's it. But I'm not a good enough chef yet, so
you'll get there.
When I learn, I'll start doing that too. But yeah, that's pretty much the predominant of my diet at the moment.
And I think I feel like your energy levels are off the roof, you know what I'm saying, like just based on your diet. It's plant-based. this is my personal belief, and my personal belief come from years of watching what I eat and years of watching a lot of podcasts on nutrition. And for me, it sounds like the best diets are the ones that are predominantly vegetarian, but that does not mean you don't eat proteins. You know, you have to introduce, there are certain proteins, certain nutrients in meat and in eggs and in, you know, fish, whatever, that is good to have them at least once a week. Mm-hmm. Now, me as a person, I'll tell you this, I'm a perfect example of what you should not do. So I went up and down the scale more than the stock market goes up and down.
happens.
Yo, and I'm not even mad about it, because I've seen myself with abs and I've seen myself with titties. It happens, man. It happens. It's just that what's your current focus, you know? And
that's right.
I am somewhat spiritual. So I have an outside factor that keeps my energy levels high. I never have problems with my energy levels. It's because I'd say probably half an hour of meditation in the morning and multiple meditation throughout the day. Personal techniques based on nothing. I'm originally a Muslim. I come from a Muslim family, so I've taken a lot from that, you know, belief system, and I use it in my own way, and that's where I get my energy. So it never bothers me the fact that I'm eating bad or I'm eating good. Apart from, like, you check yourself in the mirror and be like, dude, where are you going with this? You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I come from an MMA background where super intense workouts. Didn't give a shit about the way I look. Didn't give a shit about my diet. You go there, you're burning about 8,000 calories a session. You're dying there. You come out like your head is spinning. Like, you need to sit down. After the shower, you're not jumping in your car, man. You need to sit down a little bit. Maybe grab a smoothie, chat to the guys a little bit. Then you go, because you are completely destroyed. And I can't believe how much I used to love that. Like, right now, you wouldn't pay me enough to do that shit. But I was young. I was like 21, 22, and I loved that shit. But so I've been there but one thing that I noticed, this is my point right here, I'm making it all about me. the point is that you definitely will heal everything that's wrong with you just with a good diet. You know, I had a lot of gum disease, a lot of tooth problems. All I did was change my diet and everything got fixed. I used to have a lot of inflammations. Fixed my diet, everything went away. I used to, like, there was some crashes, you know. You cannot eat crap for 4 days in a row and expect to be okay. No, you're going to wake up on the fourth day like a zombie. You're going to wake up like you're drunk and high and on whatever at the same time. And it's not the nice high or the nice drunk. It's the worst thing. It's like you don't want to see no one, you don't want to hear nothing. So it's like that. Start, I would say, personally, just advice to myself is start with my diet first. Start taking care of that. And absolutely, like you said, consistent stuff is better than, you know, intense stuff that you don't do consistently. So go for that half an hour, 15 minute walk or jog, and then stretch a little bit, and that's it. Call it a day and keep doing that and improve on that. I think what you do is something that's very motivating, and I think it's really, like, I'm like one of those guys, like, I should have went that route, because it's kind of like it will force you to to take care of yourself, take care of your body, mm-hmm. see what works, test out a few things so you can help out your clients. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very beautiful, man. So let's tell the people, just to wrap it off.
Sure.
Let's tell the people where to find you, how to get in touch with you, how to book an appointment mm-hmm. with you, where you're based and whatnot.
Okay. I just wanted to say, I think your route is great, by the way. You're allowing people to share their information and their wisdom with the world. So
appreciate
I think
it,
you're doing great thing yourself. You, don't play it down.
Thank you, man.
Okay, so my name's Lucas. On my Instagram is TheOsteoLucas. Mm-hmm. And then I work at Bridge to Health in Uxbridge. Mm-hmm. And you can do Bridge to Health on the internet, and then you can use the number to call and book in with me. I may at some point start doing, because I have a room in my house at the front, which we're sort of preparing, and I might start doing treatments there as well. And that's in Wolseden Green. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of really early days. We're kind of sorting out with my parents, trying to work out times and things. But yeah, at the moment it's mostly Bridge to Health at Uxbridge. But if you have any questions, by all means, send me a message at TheOsteoLucas on Instagram.
Awesome. And if people want to be like, hey man, can you come and do a session with me at home? Mm-hmm. What do you do that?
I have done. The thing with that is it's the travel is sometimes a little bit tough.
Yeah.
So for the moment, I'm probably going to say no to that. Mm-hmm. But whatever the future has in store for me, I don't know.
There you go. There you have it. And ladies and gentlemen, every single thing that he said, you'll find it in the description. So all the links are there. So you just click on them and get in touch with Lucas. And yeah, man, if you're feeling anything like you've heard from him right now. So if you have any sort of question, issue, whatever, get in touch with him. He's a lovely guy. There he is, Lucas, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for coming in, bro.
No, thank you so much. Really, it's
gonna be
it.
Listen, we're neighbors, so we're gonna do a lot of these. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely,
anytime
definitely.
I feel like some sort of a problem, hey Lucas, come man, I got an issue.
We'll do a swap, yeah.
I'll actually set up some sort of a table in the other room so you can come and do the practice here.
Why not?
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for listening to us. I've been your host, Sammy, and I'll see you on the next one. Peace.